Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
The hotline's 888-900-9966, and it is active today. Let's go to Clark and Lansing. Clark, welcome to the program.
Morning, Steve. I've got a kind of a unique take on it. I like the idea of charging the recount back to the candidate, but I'd also like to not accept the rules or the premise that the Democrats are putting forward. If we're going to do this recount, let's do a full accounting and line up every vote with every legal citizen and put it back in their lap and see how long they like that those terms.
Well, that would be racist and bigoted, you see. You see, that's what that would be, and then that's what they would call us. You'd be xenophobic and racist. If you dare try to prove that they had fraudulent voting on put forth that helped them pick up the votes they did have, they'd go crazy. Clark, thanks for the thing. I agree with you, Clark. I just know what the pushback would be. And Tom in Grand Rapids, welcome to it.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Hey, I just wonder how many more Muslim terrorist incidents do we need as Americans before asking our Congress, our people, to suspend any migrants coming in here from Muslim countries? I mean, how many more people got to get involved in these terroristic acts? How stupid can we be?
I think we're moving in that direction,
too.
Tom.
I've taken this to my rep here, Justin Amash, here in Grand Rapids, and talked with some of the people. And they're telling me our refugee laws are really a big part of the problem.
Well, Tom, I'm sure that's going to change, though. Yeah, well, the change is coming, Tom. Thank you for checking in. Change is coming. That's why America made a decision about who the next president is going to be and shocked the media. Byron Henry, my next guest, attorney and constitutional scholar, who thinks the Trump presidency could be in trouble, though, from emolument, the emolument clause. I hope I'm saying that right, Byron. Welcome to the program.
Yes, you are saying it right, Steve, and I'm glad to be with you. Good morning.
What in the world does emolument mean?
Well, according to the left, who has rediscovered the originalist roots of the Constitution vis-a-vis Justice Scalia's interpretation method that they've never used in the past, believe that an emolument is a present, gift, or some sort of payment for services that an officer of the United States is not allowed to accept from foreign states or foreign kings or foreign princes, according to the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9. So basically, the argument now from the left is that because Donald Trump owns things abroad, owns hotels and has interests abroad, anytime someone from another state or state-owned banks, for instance, rents space in one of his apartment buildings or in Trump Tower or pays him for services in any of his establishments, that is a gift or a payment.
That doesn't even make sense.
Well, the difficulty is that, first of all, they have to, of course, as I mentioned earlier, discover the originalist roots of the Constitution, and it's amazing how many of these liberals that had never actually read the text of the Constitution have actually become textualists when it comes to Donald Trump.
Well, and I get that, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, presidents and vice presidents and ambassadors, you know, gifts are given on a regular basis, and it's not to buy, you know, well, sometimes it is to buy influence, I suppose. But somebody staying at a Trump hotel in Dubai doesn't mean they're getting any special favors from Donald Trump. You know that, I know that, and every common sense person in the world knows that. It has nothing to do, one has nothing to do with the other. And if they stay at the brand new Trump hotel in Washington, D.C. and rent a room there, it doesn't mean that they're going to get special treatment from the President of the United States. None of these, I mean, but this does draw the question, shouldn't he put in somebody in charge of his business holdings? And it's awfully hard to do a complete blind trust. I don't know how you would do that because his holdings are so large and reach so many places. But you know what? It's something for the Democrats to crow about because they don't have anything else, from what I can tell.
Yeah, it seems to me like the blind trust, I agree with you 100%, doesn't work here because in order to do a blind trust, you have to liquidate your assets. And then a trustee manages them in the sense of that they invest them into things you don't know what you're invested in. Therefore, you can't be doing... you can't be making moves as president that would help you yourself financially because you don't even know what you're invested in. But in this case, that would be almost impossible. I think Donald Trump is attempting to do kind of a compromise where he basically puts other people in charge of running his businesses. The only question is that how close is he going to be with knowing what moves are being made and whatnot? And I suspect not much, since, you know, being president is a full-time job and it's going to be difficult. So I think.
I mean, and you can't force the guy to sell all of his real estate. That's silly. I mean, that is what you're telling him he has to sell his life's work, you know, when you listen, put somebody else in charge of running the stuff. That's fine. He's not going to be able to do both. My estimation is just have somebody else separate from it, get it done. But they're trying to figure out ways to discredit him before he gets started. I have an idea. Let him do his work. Let him do what he was elected to do and get after it. Now, I don't agree with anybody being able to buy access to the United States government. Not Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump, not anyone. So we have to make sure that we're clear about the fact that, okay, running the hotels, they'll figure out a way to do that. But if anything ever surfaced like he was peddling influence the way the Clinton Foundation was, or Hillary Clinton, that would be something that I would not accept or tolerate, and I think that most people feel the same way.
I think you're right, and what most people forget is that most of the founding fathers, if you want to go back to them when the Constitution was ratified, were very rich individuals, owned lots of land, had estates, had lots of business dealings, some with foreign entities, but especially here in the United States. So it's not unprecedented that someone that actually had money, had land, and had businesses might become president of the United States. And I agree with you. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires a person of means to basically sell everything he owns in order to act as president of the United States. I think the only thing you need to look out for is what you said, is to make sure that there's some kind of division or separation between Donald Trump and the Trump Organization while he's president, so there can be no question that someone's buying influence or trying to get favors through Donald Trump's businesses.
Yeah, I don't think anybody suggested that John Kennedy sell all of his, you know, valuables. He was very wealthy when he became president of the United States. Or Hillary Clinton would have been suggested that she sell everything. Or Al Gore, anybody else that ran for president, they should sell everything and put it into a pile of money for some stranger to run. I don't think that was suggested by anyone. But it's only suggested now because they have, well, they're grasping at straws.
Yeah, I agree. And between, in my opinion, between the recount and this emoluments clause argument and the praise of Fidel Castro, it just seems to me that the election of Donald Trump has driven the left completely off the cliff, and they sort of jumped the shark collectively as a group, because they just are collectively out of their minds with the election of Donald Trump as president. They haven't gotten their arms around that yet.
Well, that's right, Byron, which is why you see these ridiculous recount efforts being joined by Hillary Clinton in only three states. Not the closest state of all was New Hampshire. No recount needed there. Nevada, just as close as the others. No recount needed there. It's absurd. But I appreciate your time, Byron, as always. We'll talk soon.
Glad to be with you.
Byron Henry, attorney and constitutional scholar here on the Steve Gruber Show. Emolument. We'll keep an eye on that one, see where that one goes. Now, still to come, suck it up, Buttercup. Suck it up, Buttercup. That is a bill being put forth in January, when the Iowa State Legislature gets together. What does it mean? It means that the guy that we're going to have on next, State Rep Bobby Kaufman of Iowa, is sick and tired of cry zones and, you know, safe spaces and trigger words and places where you can go play with Play-Doh. He'll be on with me next. And then after that, coming up in the next hour here, Senator Scott Brown, the former senator of the state of Massachusetts that replace Senator Ted Kennedy. Last time we spoke to him was July, but he's back on the program. We'll talk about how the White House looks. We'll talk to him about whether or not he'd like to be in charge of the Veterans Administration. Straight ahead here on the Steve Gruber Show.